You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Friday, September 21st, and if you've been a regular listener to this podcast, you know I've been on hiatus for a while. I've been working really hard on learning the music for a recital that I was supposed to do this Sunday in Boston, of music by Ives and Zemlinsky and Harbison and Poulenc. And the reason I say was supposed to instead of am playing is that a week ago I broke my finger. Don't panic. It's going to be fine. It's going to be completely fine. It's just a hairline fracture. But it means that I will not be able to play, certainly for the next 3 weeks, and maybe for the next month, and maybe for the next 6 weeks. So I have canceled a recital for an injury for the first time in my life. It might even be the first time I've ever canceled a recital. I'm not sure. I'm hoping that we can reschedule it for the spring, because let me tell you, this music was really, really hard. I mean, that's why I took time off from the Chopin to learn it. There were lots of pieces that were very, very difficult to get off the page. A lot of what I call misspelled chords. So where you have like an E minor chord and it's spelled F flat, A double flat, C flat. Don't worry if that doesn't mean anything to you. If it does mean anything to you, you'll know that it's sort of cruel and unusual. So I worked and worked and worked and worked, and I was totally ready to play this recital. And I'm really cranky and frustrated that I broke my finger and I can't play it this Sunday. If I'd broken my finger a month ago, it might have been a little bit of a relief, actually, because learning the music was difficult and frustrating sometimes. But now I'm just cranky that I learned it and I can't play it. So then the question, of course, is, well, what do I do? And when I was sitting in the ER waiting to get x-rayed, I was thinking, well, maybe I should just take some time off from practicing. And at first glance, that sounds really appealing, you know, to have 2 extra hours. And I know, and I know I should big capital S with big quotation marks around the whole thing, should be practicing more than 2 hours. But the reality of my teaching life in during the school year is that 2 hours is all I can do. But so to have 2 extra hours every day and be able to like sleep a little bit later and get up and hang out with my kid at breakfast time instead of running out the door while he's still asleep, and being able to catch up on all those emails, and it sounded really appealing, not to mention, you know, just sitting around reading novels. But the thing is, whenever I take time off from practicing, I don't actually overtly miss practicing. Like, I am very good at just spending an afternoon reading a novel, and at no point during that afternoon do I think, oh, I really wish I were practicing the piano right now. But if I do that for more than about 3 days, I just start getting really irritable and insufferable, and everything is annoying, and everything just really bothers me, and it's kind of like having really bad PMS all the time, and it will sometimes take me a few days of that before I go, oh, what's wrong? Why do I hate life so much? Everything's fine. I shouldn't be so frustrated. And then I go, oh, I'm not practicing. So, I decided pretty quickly that I had to find a way to keep myself practicing. And when I told that to my husband, he said, yeah, or I might have to move out for the next month and a half. So I got to keep practicing. So I'm going to talk to you today about what I'm doing to practice with just one hand. It's my left ring finger that I broke. So, you know, there's sure a whole lot of right hand alone practicing to be done in these etudes. So I'm going to show you a couple of spots that I've started working on. They're not there by any means. And I, you know, it hasn't been the greatest practice week in the world because it actually is kind of depressing to practice just one hand alone, which I have to work out too. Anyway, there are a couple of these etudes that I have specifically been avoiding because they have a skill set that I don't have yet, which many of them do, of course. I mean, this has been a whole process of learning new skills. But this particular 10 number 7 is this thing. Ugh. As you can hear, I can't do that consistently yet. And part of what it is that I need to be playing it in what my teacher Rebecca Penny has described as the begging dog position. So like wrists up, fingers down. And that's not a position that I'm used to playing in a lot. So that's something that I need to work on, and that when I have looked at this, I've tended to sort of say, well, I'll work on that later. You know that feeling, right? Where you have something that you know you really need to do and you go, well, I'll do it later. So I'm trying to use this broken finger as a tool to kind of deal with some of these things that I've been procrastinating. So I'm working on 10 number 7. I'm actually working on it. I'm also working on what to me has been the scariest one, which is 25 number 8, which is kind of the same thing. I mean, it's not repeated notes, but it's... These are doubled six. So... So I'm trying to do them in groups. Oops, I'm doing this from memory, which you can hear. I'm not quite ready to do. Anyway, ugh, that's up. So that is basically my thumb and my second finger, my pointer finger, are playing at the same time as my ring finger and my pinky, right? So it's thumb and ring finger, pointer finger and pinky. So that's quite difficult for me. I haven't worked out how to do it yet. It'll be a little bit faster than that, but that's pretty close to tempo. So this is one of the ones where, you know, when you play these etudes, there's kind of the main game of it. And then once you figure out the main game, there are parts that are kind of hard. So this one, I'm still figuring out the main game. I haven't gotten to the point of dealing with the parts that are hard yet. But I'm working on that one. And then, of course, another one that needs a lot of right hand alone practice, this one's been on the shelf for a while, although I don't feel as sort of overwhelmed and afraid of it as I do of the two that I just showed you, is, of course, the Winter Wind, this one. Ah! Right, this one... Oops. I just started working on this one again. Oops, I'm on the wrong octave. So you can hear that one has plenty of miles to go before I sleep. So those are kind of the three main ones that I'm really, really, really working on. Then there's also a whole bunch that have little places that I need to tend to in the right hand. I don't have a comprehensive list of that yet. Next week, I'm going to tell you exactly the spots that have little places that I need to work on the right hand. Obviously, 10 number one, this one, yeah, that one, plenty to do in that one. 10 number 10, this is... That one actually is more mental than figuring out the physical skill, because the articulations keep changing and I don't have them straight in my head. And that's something I've been saying for a while. Oh, I need to get the articulation straight in my head, but I haven't done it yet. So that's another thing I've been kind of putting off that I'm going to try and deal with. There definitely are some spots in the B section of 25 number 5. Wow, that's a lot harder without the left hand. I haven't tried that yet. Ugh. That's interesting. That's very interesting. So normally, let me play with this with my right hand. Normally when I play that, the left hand is playing this really nice melody that's going. Oops. And so forth, right? So when you play the left hand with all this being sort of accompanimental, it's easier to play the big mess because there's an overlying overlying, overarching, underlying melody that's kind of sweeping everything along with it. So maybe what I need to do here is the mental trick where I'm singing the line or really feeling it. I'm not sure. Anyway, I have to look at that. Or maybe I just need to practice it hands with the right hand and make sure that it is not hard. So that'll be a spot that I'll look at. Obviously, 25 number 6 has 1,000 places that can use. It's the double thirds, right? Ah. Right, there's that kind of thing. There's lots of places. I'll give you a specific list, like measure by measure, next week. There's another one of these that I've been putting off because it's scary. And obviously I can't practice it with both hands and the whole shebang at this point. But I can do some musical work on it. So this is 25 number 10, which is basically both hands playing octaves with the occasional middle line added in. So left hand is pinky, thumb, right hand is thumb, pinky, and then everybody goes at the same time, which obviously I'm not going to do right now because my left hand, I'm just trying not to play with my left hand at all, even though it's just my one finger that's broken. Anyway, here is the melody. Oops. No. There we go. Sorry. And then it goes on like that. It doesn't go quite that fast. That would kill me in octaves, but it goes fairly fast. This is the right hand. That's not right. I made it up. There's a one spot. It's doing this little chromatic thing, right, where it goes up three. But then it repeats one, and I'm never sure where it is. I haven't learned that yet. And then we get this nice middle line. So one of the ways I'm practicing the middle line that comes in is I'm playing just the middle line with the thumb, and I'll just deal with the left hand later. Oops. Now, once I get good at that, I'm going to need to add in the pinky, too. So instead of just this, it'll be. See how that works? But I think right now, teaching myself just the single line so that I can think about it as a musical phrase instead of what's this note, 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 I think that's an important way of doing it. So this is octaves hell for 2 pages. And then this really gorgeous, beautiful, it's stupid to say Chopin-esque, because obviously this is all Chopin, but let me just say Chopin-esque, melody on the next, say, page, or the next couple pages, which is the B section. All right, I'm going to play the left-hand bass line with my thumb, and just the right-hand melody, just so you can hear how pretty this is. There, but that's okay. There's this really nice line that goes along with that. So if I can play the right, I'm going to play the bottom note of the right hand and the left hand top part with my right hand. Isn't that nice? Anyway, goes on from there. Beautiful melody. The whole thing goes through 3 times, and then you have about a page of the octaves business at the end. And the way it comes back is really cool, but I don't know if this is going to make any sense. Okay, so here's my thumb playing the left hand right here. What I'm about to play now, the left hand would also be playing, while the right hand's playing this chord. This isn't giving you an idea. Okay, well, meanwhile, left hand is doing this little sewing machine thing. Okay, so... And then this turns into octaves in the left hand. And then that's still the left hand. I was just playing with my right hand. And then the right hand adds in, so you have four octaves of everybody going. And then... Let me go back to single line, because I haven't practiced this yet in octaves. And then here we are back at our beginning thing. And then it goes there and it ends. So I think if I can get myself a musical idea of how this piece goes, which I just have never even really looked at it very much before. I mean, I had glanced at the B section, but every time I looked at the first two pages, I would just kind of go, octaves, and not deal with it. So I'm trying to deal with it from a musical standpoint, and hopefully once all my fingers are working, it will then be much easier to play it with all of the octaves. So those are some of the places that I'm focusing on for now. And then, of course, the other obvious thing is I need to make really clear theory maps of everything. A lot of these, I've got my theory maps in place. And if you haven't listened before, if you're not clear, what theory maps are, me knowing for sure exactly what key I'm in all the time. And as much as possible, exactly what chord I'm playing, although sometimes they're really cool chromatic chords and parsing it doesn't actually help to know what. The point of having a theory map is so you have really clear road signs along the way. So if there's, a French augmented sixth chord, it might take me a little bit to think about that rather than thinking thumb on A sharp, you know? And I made that up. I wasn't thinking of a specific chord. But basically the idea is to have analytical roadmap places where I know where I am through the grammar of the whole piece. And like I said, I have that in some of them and some of them I don't. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time with a pencil and my score. This is where I'm really glad it's my left ring finger that's broken and not my right. So I can write no problem because I'm right-handed. So there's that. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm also planning on doing some listening, although I've managed to have plenty to do at the piano this week. And so I haven't spent any of my practice time listening. But those are some of the strategies that I'm employing to not go crazy while my finger heals. So that's it. You can find out more about this project at playitagainswig.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger. It would be awfully nice if you liked my Facebook page or left me a review in iTunes. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy.